A proposed new government intervention in the marketplace, this time painkillers. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Trump administration is stepping up its work to fight the opioid epidemic. The Drug Enforcement Agency, along with the Justice Department, called on pharmaceutical companies to cut back production of some of the most abused prescription painkillers. Marketplace's Justin Ho is following this. Justin?
So the proposal would apply to six painkillers, including oxycodone, fentanyl, morphine, and it required drug makers next year to cut back on their production by 10% on average. The DEA says these new limits will, quote, encourage vigilance on the part of opioid manufacturers and help the DEA respond to the changing drug threat environments. Why 10%? Well, the DEA said it came to that number after factoring in the amount of legitimate medical needs for opioids, the DEA's own data, and overall estimates of retail consumption of these drugs. It'll actually tailor the quotas to each company.
Hmm. And what did President Trump also say about suing drug companies that make these things?
Right. There are currently thousands of these lawsuits brought by a number of states and others against these pharma companies. But yesterday, Trump said he wanted to bring a federal suit against them and asked Attorney General Jeff Sessions to get the ball rolling. Now, Trump didn't name any companies specifically, but the companies in the state suits include Purdue Pharma, Teva Pharmaceuticals, Johnson & Johnson, and McKesson.
Justin, thank you. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE, London, down a tenth percent. Dow and S&P futures also down a tenth percent. The Turkish lira is falling again with more U.S. sanctions threatened. For the first time ever, the U.S. Department of Agriculture will buy up milk, $50 million worth, or 12 to 15 million gallons. It'll get to people via soup kitchens and food banks. This helps food insecure Americans, but it is also designed to help struggling dairies. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
U.S. milk consumption has fallen more than 4% just since last year, driven in part by shifting consumer preferences, all those not dairy milks, like almond and cashew, crowding store shelves. Bailey Wood is with the International Dairy Foods Association.
The federal government is helping out the dairy industry because consumption is way down.
According to USDA, the goal is to boost demand for domestically produced milk. But ag economist Daniel Sumner at the University of California, Davis, says the Fed's buying $50 million worth of milk. It's a drop in the bucket.
How much can you move the needle on price buying 0.1% of the milk? Not very much.
It will make a difference, though, for hunger programs, says Myrna Jensen at the Oregon Food Bank.
Milk is one of the most asked-for items, especially among families. It's expensive, and kids like to drink a lot of milk.
Jensen says her organization will definitely be in the market for some of the new USDA milk. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
There's news that President Trump's big military parade talked about for this November right after the midterm elections could be delayed until sometime next year. It was first priced at about $12 million, but a new calculation by the Pentagon yesterday puts the price tag for the display at $92 million, 6.5 times what was first thought. Now to toxics in our blood and in the environment. Reporter and lawyer Jamie Kitman has followed the secret history of lead in gasoline for years. There were more benign alternatives, but lead in gas was covered by a patent, so it was very profitable through much of the last century for a group of auto, chemical, and oil companies. Now Kitman has written a piece in The Nation magazine about a second additive they had to put in gas to stop the lead from hurting the engines.
Well, the inventors of lead gasoline, GM, DuPont, Standard Oil of New Jersey, the people who first marketed it, came up with a way to expel the lead from the exhaust using the chemical element bromine.
So lead and bromine are mixed into our gasoline from the 1920s into the 1970s. But eventually, seeing the unleaded writing on the wall, the big companies sell the additive business to a small Virginia paper company called Albemarle, which sees a new opportunity. House fires, especially houses of cigarette smokers. Some want to blame fires on cigarettes treated to burn longer. But there's another approach, Jamie?
That's correct. The tobacco industry, working closely with the purveyors of bromine, repurpose the bromine, which they'd been using in lead gasoline, to become a flame retardant, thus avoiding any legislation that would affect how long cigarettes burn and things like that, but also creating a new market for the bromine. The only problem is, scientists at the time say, this is very likely a carcinogen. It's remarkably closely related chemically to PCBs, which we know are carcinogens. But the industry, just the way it did with lead, goes, well, you know, we're not sure. Let's prove it. So that was 4 years ago. The earth today is covered in flame retardant as it was with lead, which has now been proven not just to be a carcinogen, but a mutagen.
I mean, Jamie, you don't want houses and clothes to catch fire. No one does.
No, of course not. But the flame retardants don't necessarily, in the quantities used, prevent fires from happening.
Now, over the years, a number of those fire retardant chemicals have been found to be highly toxic, and in turn, they were taken off the market. But the current one, I think it's called TBBPA, is legal, although there's a study suggesting it's not good for you?
Yeah, it's a game of whack-a-mole, and it's not unlike what we've seen with many chemicals that are on sale in the United States. There's 80,000 chemicals. About 300 of them have been tested by the EPA. So we sort of have to take companies' words, but what happens is that somebody will go, well, this is, we've definitively proven to be a carcinogen, and they'll go, oh, well, we just changed this molecule here, so it's a whole new chemical, and you're going to have to test it all again. So there's basically no regard for what's the almost certain outcome of those tests, which is that the product is dangerous. And that is sort of the chemical regime under which we live. The obligation to prove something's dangerous generally falls on the public and not the companies selling it.
Kipman contacted DuPont and the other companies with questions. He heard back from General Motors, which chose not to comment. Jamie Kipman's piece about this has just been published in The Nation magazine. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer is Brian Allison. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.